Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. Joining us this morning to talk elections with us, well, all the things we could talk about with our former state representative and former Kalispell police chief, Frank Garner.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Sure. So this latest venture that you're on here could change the way we do elections here in Montana forever.
It could, and I'm part of a group, Montanans for Election Reform, that's part of a growing coalition that really believes that not only does our current system contribute to some of the negative behavior we see in our elections and in our governing, but that it actually drives it. And as part of that, and I'll talk about these reforms, we think we need to change the way we the process with which we used to select people for these important jobs of governing.
One of the things that's always kind of bothered me is that because I have to register to vote as either a Democrat or Republican, or, you know, first of all, I don't think that's anybody's darn business but mine.
Yeah, it's, I've always found it interesting that the government insists on, you know, finding out what you are before they before they let you do that. And I think that's a, you know, to begin with, it's a system that you've been given, right? Not one that you've chosen. And we think it's about time Montana's got to decide what system they use to hire people for these jobs.
Now, the other problem you have here is here in Flathead County, our entire, everybody who's running our county is a Republican. And so unless you register as a Republican and vote in the primary, you have no say over who is going to fill those offices.
Yeah, and I think we can, on our first initiative where we talk about open primaries, I think we can talk more about how that disenfranchises a large portion of the people in our state, right? Because we know over 40% now in an increasing number of people identify as independents, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that competition is a good thing, right? We don't, in what other important jobs do you say, I'm only going to choose from half of the people, right? I don't want to take a look at the other half, right? And special interests and big money have exploited that system where in primaries, about 30% of the people vote, and they know if they can get their hands on about 15% of them, that we're a pretty cheap date. And it is long driven some of the negative consequences and extreme, you know, behavior and positions in politics. And I've been blessed, you know, I'm a person that's benefited from the current system. I've been blessed to have won every election I've run in, right? And in those seven contested elections that I've been in, I've learned a lot of lessons, but we know that those folks that want to try to take advantage of that system, particularly in a state like ours, have learned that that's the place to do it. This choke point in our system in primaries, where you have to take either one ballot or the other, you can only consider certain people, and that's the choice they've given you. It's not the choice that you've made. So for starters, our first ballot initiative says we're going to have open primaries. It doesn't change how you become eligible to get on the ballot, but it says, and you can have your party designation on there if you want or not, but it says you're going to get the whole menu now to choose from, because the voters, the people who we're going to hire, have the right to have more choices. And we know in everything else we do, right, as politicians we've talked about, as business owners we've talked about for years, how competition drives better outcomes, unless you're talking about us.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and then we want less. And so those people that have enjoyed the benefit of that system are going to tell you, hey, you know, we've had – even though for the last 50 or 60 years this is the same system you've had, we're going to use the same system you've had to change things for you, right? It's the old definition of crazy. And the same people that got us in here are telling us that we're going to help drive you out of the ditch, and we keep expecting a different result and don't get it. And so Our coalition believes strongly it is time to inject more competition, to put Montanans back in charge of their election system and the system they use to hire people. So instead of just having a small selection from that place in our system where maybe only 30% of the voters vote, we're going to have an open primary. You're going to be able to choose from all those people that are eligible to be on the ballot. And from that, four people are going to go to the general. Again, you're going to have more choices. More people are going to be on the ballot. And we know this isn't theoretical. We know from other examples out there where this has been done, it increases competition. You have far more of those districts and offices in the fall that are competitive, and that you have multiple candidates involved for in those races. And so we want Montanans now to be the ones to choose, and Montanans to be the ones in charge. And we want to make it harder for those special interests, for that those big money interests, to be able to affect our elections at that choke point in the primary.
What's the difference between what you're proposing and what people call a jungle primary?
Well, this one is very specific, right? Where we have you don't change the eligibility. People that are on the ballot, everybody gets to choose from, and those top four vote getters go straight to the fall election if there's four, right? And then and I'll talk about the second initiative about how we determine winners in that fall election. But for starters, it's important for us to recognize that's what that primary would look like. And I would just add, if you look at just the Senate race in Montana, they expect hundreds of millions of dollars to be spent in that that race. The amount of money that special interests will bring to bear in our elections, and they like to use the primary system especially, right, because it's a smaller number of people, is having an inordinate effect on the outcomes of who we hire in this state. So, well, for starters, that's what the primary system
is. So the primary, and when they go to the general election, there will be four candidates. Do they have the R and D designation, independent or whatever?
Yeah, they may. That's that's a choice for them to make.
Okay,
right. So you still have the right, as a as a party, to have the best ideas, to have the best candidates, and to work the hardest. Right. This is about competition and giving people choices, and so we want to make sure that the people that have that first. There's more people involved, right? More people are interested and not disinterested. And so if I'm an independent and I want to come in and I want to vote in that primary, now a lot of times they don't feel like they have a dog in the fight. Now they don't have to, sign up and tell somebody I am or I'm not something, right? They can come in and vote for who they think are the best people. So to begin with, we believe, and we know from examples, that we'll have better participation in those elections, and better choices for you as a voter.
Well, this also, I think, opens it up for more candidates to get involved, candidates who may feel as though they don't necessarily have the party's endorsement, but they don't run because they don't have the party's endorsement. Now maybe they'll run because they don't need the party's endorsement.
Well, and that is certainly one of the possibilities, right? But for us, it's about who is best to represent their constituents, right? And for them to have that best choice. And it's not that there aren't good people serving, right? There's a lot of good people serving, but they are inordinately affected by this system we have. And as I said, this choke point in our system, where it is very easy for special interests to affect it. And they could potentially, with 15%, right, if I get the attention of 15% of the people, drive the outcome for the other 85% in the district and the agenda and, what people are talking about. So I usually start by saying, if you think we're firing on all cylinders, our election system, our governing, right, then this may not be for you. But if you're like me and think we could do better, then it's important to understand one of the fundamental ways we have to change the system is to remove that place where we know these special interests try to manipulate it to give you your choices rather than ask you what they are.
Okay, so that pretty much covers the open primary part of it. The next part is, well, we'll talk with Frank Garner about that after this.
This may seem like a silly question, but hear me out. My name is Courtney Holquist with Glacier Bank, member FDIC. When operating a business, would you rather things run smoothly or be a hassle? Easy answer, right? Using efficient products and services makes all the difference. Totally free business checking with Glacier Bank is one of those tools. It helps smart business owners like you keep profits up and costs down. Our totally free business checking requires no minimum to open and no monthly service charges. You also get 3,000 free monthly transaction items. Whether you're just starting out or expanding, Glacier Bank wants to keep your business running smoothly and succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Go to glacierbank.com, call, or visit. How about today?
Well, we're talking with a guy that has served in government for the majority of his adult life and as an elected official, 8 years in the legislature. So he knows what it's like from both sides. And for a while, even, you served here in Kalispell as the interim city manager. So you've really seen it from all angles.
Yeah, if I give you my resume, it just sounds like I can't keep a job. I have had the opportunity to see it as a citizen, as an employee, and as an elected official. And it's from that perspective that I've learned where our system is being manipulated, and I think that for me is a big driving force behind my participation in this.
Who are some of the other folks that are with you in the committee?
We've got a really broad bipartisan coalition, right? We've got independents, Republicans, Democrats, people that believe as I do that one, we can do better, that we have to have a better system for hiring people for these jobs, that believe the only way we're going to get there is through fundamental change. We've all tried to do it through good candidates, through service, right? We all intended to go there and try to, you know, we were going to change the world. But what we've learned is that we've been dealt a stacked hand, and until we change that, we're going to continue to get the same result.
You know, if I'm going to hire somebody to work here at KGEZ, I'm going to cast a wide net out there, and I'm going to talk to as many people as I can who are interested and eventually come up with the one that I think will do the best for us.
Yeah, crazy idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet in an area that affects just about every corner of our lives, we don't do that, right? And so we know it drives better outcomes, as I said, in everything else we do.
So we have the open primary. Right. And then what happens in the general election?
Well, then we have to also, there's a second ballot initiative that says you have to have a majority winner. And the reason there's two is because Montana has a single subject clause that says each initiative has to basically be on a single subject. And so we also believe that it's important that winner represents a majority of the constituents. Now, there'll be a legislative participation in that. They'll have to decide. There's a couple of choices. They could do instant runoff or runoff elections in deciding how we do that in those races where there isn't a clear majority winner. But we believe that is as important as the first initiative. And the reason for that is back to where I talked about we can't have a... And we have that a lot now in our political system, a choke point that can be abused by, you know, special interests in those folks that want to make us more divisive, want us talking about things that we shouldn't be talking about. And so the more people that I have to, as a representative, be responsible to the harder it is for those special interests to be able to affect it. If I'm more worried about the folks back home, because I know I have to make a majority of them happy, then I'm less worried about the guy in the smoke-filled room down at the end of the hallway who's going to try to tell me, you know, what I should be doing for the folks back home. So both those initiatives together put Montanans back in charge of their election and hiring system. And we know from other examples out there in the world will drive better outcomes.
So the second part of this requires that the election, in order to win the election, you have to have at least half of the vote?
Yep, 50 plus one.
So we're talking about the general election.
Yes.
We get to that.
Yeah. Okay. So from those four, if there's four candidates, right? But from those candidates that make it to the fall election, somebody has to win a majority. And in most races, it'll be a clear winner, right? But on those where there isn't, then we'll have to have a system that says, here's how we make that selection.
I'm curious about it. Let's just take, for example, Senator John Tester. He has never had a majority vote, yet he has been our senator for three terms and is running for a fourth. And it'll be surprising if he gets over 50%. If the legislature had decided whether or not John Tester was going to be the senator, he would have lost.
Yeah.
Because it's a Republican-controlled legislature.
Yeah, they don't get to decide the winner. They get to decide the process.
Oh, the process.
Use,
okay,
right,
all right.
To choose, right? And the two examples out there are instant runoff or runoff elections, right? You know, so
right.
You have like the Alaska example or Georgia.
What would an instant runoff look like?
Well, that's where you rank your voting choices,
okay.
And you have the if you're the person that you ranked as number one doesn't win, then your vote essentially goes to the number two person, or you don't have to rank them at all. You can just vote for one person, right? But it kind of puts you in charge of your vote and to make sure that your vote counts. But it's an instant runoff, so you don't have to run another election.
But I'm just wondering, with four people running, is it possible for one person to get 50%?
In most cases, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know,
I'm sure you've run this thing a few times.
Right. And we know this from examples in other states, right, and that the majority races are decided outright. But in those races where you have one, somebody at the end of the day has to say they have the support of the majority of the people they represent.
Okay. Now, I'm thinking that what happens in political campaigns and in business is strategizing based on the conditions that exist, and that's why this is a good thing. Is there an opportunity to game this system?
Well, I think it'll be hard to find a system that doesn't have
yeah.
any, you know, hole in it.
Yeah.
But here's my proposition to you and why I'm involved, right? And not just a kind of a silent witness on this thing.
Right.
Is first, if you believe that we need to do better, right, and that we need to have a better system to choose, right, and that your vote should count, whether it's in the primary or in the fall election, it's clear we have to have fundamental change. And how best to do that than to put you in charge of the system you use to do that, right?
Yeah.
If now you get to choose from everybody that's there, right? Now your vote, whether you have a party designation, you're an independent, whoever, you get to choose from the entire list of those that are eligible, and we insist that that person at the end of the day is responsible to and supported by a majority of the people they represent.
All right. So it's like anything else. We've been doing it this way so long, it's a little scary to change it.
Yeah, change is always a hard thing, right? But so is sticking with the same system that is giving you results that don't meet your expectations, and that's why I and others and this growing coalition believe in this so strongly. We believe we are at that point where we have to be involved in fundamental change in our system to change the direction of governing and the results that we get from it.
Frank Garner is our guest, and we'll kind of cap all this up right after this.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel most at home? On your living room couch? Maybe with your family around the dinner table? This is Lacey Ambick, NMLS number 954154 for Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Feeling at home is important. We want to help you get there. The dream you had in mind, it could be buying a first home or building a new one. Glacier Bank is ready to make it happen. People like you have been trusting Glacier Bank to finance their projects for almost 70 years now. After all this time, you could say we know our way around the block. Give us the chance, and we'll do everything we can to get you
our
in your home.
Our guest today, former
right
state representative and
There's
former
no
Kalispell Police Chief Frank Garner, a veteran of many elections. He's been there, done that. And we're talking about the new open primary and how this thing will work. Why don't you give us a quick synopsis or an overview?
Okay, so first, this is a three-step system. The first is the legal phase where we have to, these ballot initiatives have to meet the legal requirements to be on the ballot. So of the two, the open primary is past that, and now we're getting ready for the second phase, which is collecting signatures. We'll have to collect signatures from across the state, 10% of the electorate, so close to 70,000 votes, and it's got to be more than that because some of those votes won't be eligible at the end of the day. The majority winner is just a hair behind that one in the process, but we expect to be collecting signatures in the next, maybe by the end of the month here on both those. And then once those are done and we know that it'll be on the ballot, then it'll be, the process will be just about making sure to educate Montanans on how this system puts them back in charge of their election system and giving them the opportunity to vote. So it's important to remind people, I don't get to change the system. All I do is get to give them the opportunity to decide. They can either keep what they have, or like me, they can decide it's time for fundamental change and vote to change, to inject competition and give us more choice.
Okay, that sure sounds like it makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, since it's an initiative, if there will be dark money campaigning against it.
So I used to be a detective.
Okay.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, yes, like I said, I guarantee you, you're going to find the same people that drove the car in the ditch telling you they're the only ones that can drive it out for you, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to spend plenty of money to do it. And we're going to try to work hard to make sure that Montanans know this is their chance.
Got a choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that has probably the most successful part of your time in the legislature is your ability to gather coalitions together to move things forward. This sort of a thing sounds like this will enhance that opportunity for more people.
Yeah, and you can look at other states. I'll use Alaska as an example, right? In mm-hmm. one election mm-hmm. term, theirs is a little different than ours, but it's similar reforms. They have now bipartisan coalitions that meet to talk about, now hang on here, crazy things like infrastructure, education, right? Workforce, yeah. housing, mm-hmm. you know, it has provided them the opportunity to talk about the things that you and I think, probably are talking about at our kitchen table and that are not driven by these special interests that know they are going to that choke point in our primary system to try to, you know, affect whatever their issue is. So, as I said, it's not theoretical. We can look out there and look at examples there to say it drives better outcomes. It provides more competition. More people feel like they can run. It gives you more choices. And it provides the opportunity now to be more worried about what you think in November and what you think in May and June than it does, you know, the guys that are writing these big checks. And this is, I think, in just a short time, the kind of thing that can provide us the opportunity to make sure we're in charge again.
I've always wanted to ask you this. You certainly were not a neophyte to government when you decided to run for the state legislature. What was the biggest maybe surprise or maybe even disappointment that you found once you got to Helena and started looking around and realizing you couldn't do what all that you wanted to do?
Well, I think probably the biggest surprise to me, and I don't think I was shocked, but the level to which, even at state government, where there exists this environment where people try to convince you the world looks differently there than it does back home, right? There's a whole industry there designed to try to convince you that the world and the solutions to our problems are completely different than they are when I'm talking to people on Main Street here in Kalispell, right? The amount of influence on state elections when we'd be voting on something and I'd be getting these calls from all across the country and wondering, why do these folks want to talk to this guy from Kalispell, Montana, who's a citizen legislature? And you learn real quick why. There are these powerful influences out there that want you to think differently than you know you need to serve the folks back home.
And they all want to be your best friend.
Oh, yeah. I used to get, 50, 60 Christmas cards this time of year from people I never heard of, and those days are gone, I guess. Yeah. So.
But, Frank, one of the things that I remember early in your career, you championed a gas tax increase. And, it was obvious we needed to do something. It was clear that our infrastructure needed help. And you realized that. You went after it and you fought it. And people were calling you Gas Tax Garner.
Yeah.
And attacking you for doing it. And as it turned out, we had a situation where if those taxes had not gone up, we would have been in deep trouble.
Yeah, I think for me it was a public safety issue, right? When you talk about conditions of roads and bridges and how it impacts not just commerce, our ability to live our lives, but also the safety of the people driving up and down the road. And it was clear we needed, in my mind, and ultimately the majority of the people that were there agreed with me, that we had to take advantage of those federal dollars out there, because we get about seven for every one that we invest. And it was about time we had those folks from out of state help us pay for it, right? Instead
Sure.
of instead of putting the pressure on property taxpayers and asking them to pay for the street in front of their house, I felt like it was time to do that. But, you learn pretty quickly that governing isn't easy. And and you're probably not going to make everybody happy as you go along the way. But I think it's important to try to make hard decisions sometimes, try to feel like you're serving the people back home and doing what you think, is best for them, even if it isn't necessarily best for you.
Yeah. One other quick thing, when does this process start with gathering signatures and everything?
Probably within the next few weeks, because we still have to make sure the ballot language, now that we've gone through the legal phase, is accurate and correct. So probably by the end of the month, we'll start collecting those signatures the end of December, 1st of January, and we'll have till about June, middle of June, to be able to do that. And we've got I have to tell you, the response to this has been incredible, probably like nothing else I've ever worked on in the political field. And so we've got lots of people that want to volunteer and want to help and want to grab a shovel and help dig on this one. So that process will be starting within just a few weeks.
Excellent. Gosh, Frank, we could talk forever and ever on this. I just love to
we'll
tap
talk
your,
again, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I love to tap your experience on this stuff, too, and get a perspective for people. And, Frank, thank you so much for the service you've given us and appreciate spending time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.